For one who is indifferent, life itself a prison. Any sense of community is external, or even worse, non-existent. Thus, indifference means solitude. Those who are indifferent do not see others. They feel nothing for others and are unconcerned with what might happen to them. They are surrounded by a great emptiness, filled by it, in fact. They are devoid of all hope as well as imagination. In other words, devoid of any future. And this week's quote comes from Eli Wiesel. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. I think indifference must be one of the hardest emotions for people to feel in the current political climate with the world in the state that it's in today. I can't imagine how anyone could look around them at the state of this planet and be indifferent towards it. I really don't. But unfortunately, there are many people who do suffer this indifference. Of course, it changes once the storm comes to their own backyard. But for the most part, looking at global events, people are, in general, rather indifferent towards things, which is very unfortunate. People seem somewhat indifferent to the military action that's being carried out all around the planet. I mean, people don't like war, but they look at all of these military incursions and just go, oh, well, you know, it's a bummer that the war's happening, but, well, there's not much I can do about it. And when they read statistics that read that 49 people are being killed for every one possible terrorist in these illegal drone strikes that this psychotic lunatic mass murderer Barack Obama is conducting in Pakistan, and they're indifferent about it. They just think, oh, that's terrible, but they just go back to work and don't do anything about it. They continue to pay their taxes. They continue to support the system. That's something that really surprises me, folks, how people can actually look at these things and go, oh, wow, that's terrible. They can even get quite emotional about it. But then they just go back to doing whatever it is that they're doing. And they think, well, life goes on. You've got to work. You've got to pay to be alive. So you have to keep your nose to the grindstone and you can't really concern yourself with all of that sort of stuff. And this really is indifference, but it's trained indifference. It's programmed indifference. It's a kind of apathy that's been instilled into people. And I believe a lot of why people feel this type of apathy is because of biological reasons. I think that people have been fed food and placed in environments which actually lull them into a sense of apathy. I think this is why the fluoride's in the water, this is what the television does, this is what a lot of the electromagnetic grid does as well. It just puts a cloud over people's minds so they're just not thinking too clearly. And thus, when bad things happen in the world, people kind of just shrug them off. And thus, nothing ever changes. Because if change is ever going to come, folks, it's got to come from the people. You're not going to get any changes from our politicians. I've discussed this for years. The only change we're going to get from our politicians is when people rediscover themselves enough to realize that their politicians are public servants and we rein these criminal institutions back under control. Because that's what our governments are. They're criminal institutions. Like, look at the government here in Australia. This is obviously a criminal institution. We've got a barefaced liar sitting as a prime minister. And this in itself should be seen as criminal, folks. I personally believe that any politician, as soon as they make an election promise, they must be bound by that promise. And if they then get elected and they break their promises, they should be charged for something similar to perjury and taken to jail. That's what I think. Mainly because I'm just sick of these criminal scumbags getting away with what they do, folks. I'm sick of little maggots like Tony Abbott doing what he does. I'm sick of criminals like Barack Obama dropping bombs on people in Pakistan. I'm sick of liars like David Cameron spewing his vitriol, racism and hate-mongering across his country and attempting to promote wars against anybody that he can. I mean, let's face it, folks, for all of their talk about standing up against terrorism and protecting their societies, these world leaders are themselves terrorists of the highest order. Not only because of the illegal wars that they're involved in and the terrorist activities they're carrying out right now against the people of Syria and the people of Iraq, but also because of the terrorism that they subject their own people to through the brutality that they're allowing their domestic police to unleash against their own citizens. I mean, look, we've got cops running around in body armor now. And this is against unarmed populations. I mean, we've got these police just brutalising the people in their countries, these terrorists in Ferguson that are just shooting black people and then getting off scot-free. I mean, what's that about? Well, what it's about, folks, is they're attempting to push the people of the United States into violent revolution. Barack Obama is pushing and pushing and pushing everything they can to spark violent confrontation so they can lock the country down into martial law. That's what it's about. And the people really need to stand up and see what's going on here and take the right action. And the right action is not a violent revolution. The right action is a united and empowered community to simply stand up and call a spade a spade. And as I said a couple of shows ago, folks, they're all war criminals anyway. I mean, just because they support Israel. And the war crimes of Israel cannot be denied. They cannot be argued. I mean, the question over whether Israel is involved in war crimes is not even a debatable point, because the very existence of Gaza Strip itself is a war crime. And I went through it a couple of shows ago, the amount of war crimes this country is carrying out, and you find that all of the politicians that I just named and most of the politicians in our government are supporting the actions of Israel, which means that all of these governments are guilty of supporting war crimes. And you'll find that you've got legislation in your own country that you can use to press charges against these criminal scumbags for their support of Israeli war crimes and the genocide of the Palestinian people. And that's another thing, folks. See, that's a way we can approach things which will actually empower people. And you can get angry about things, but you can channel that anger into something positive by having these people charged under their own legislation. All you got to do is get enough public awareness to make it happen. And I believe that this could be done by presenting the information to the public in the right way. I mean, all you've really got to do, folks, is state things in a common sense manner, and people are going to say, well, yeah, one and one is two, and they're going to come on board. And for the members of the population who don't come on board, who just remain indifferent about it, well, that's just the way it is. There's going to be people that are like that, who really don't care about the global situation and just follow wherever it leads. And that's just the way a lot of the population are. And that's okay, too. See, we don't need to wake up the entire world, folks. We just need to wake up those who care into looking at things from the correct perspective and applying themselves to the world at large. I mean, a lot of what these people are doing, folks, it's about frequency. It's about vibration. They really want to lower the frequency on the planet. And that may sound New Age and hippie-ish, but it's not. It's about the frequency that you're in. And they do it, folks. They do everything they can to get you angry, and they succeed. They do with me. They've certainly got me angry and sent me off the rails in the last few months. With what happened in Gaza, in July in Gaza, I had a near breakdown over what happened in Gaza. Totally lost emotional control of myself. And it's easy to do, folks. That's why they do all of this. But we need to step above that and realize that that is a big part of the issue. That is what they want. They want people to be angry. They want people to be frustrated. They want people to be frightened. They want people to be in fear and anger. Because when people are in fear and anger, they're not acting rationally. They're not thinking clearly. They're not taking positive action. They're taking irrational and usually violent action. And that's what they're trying to push people into. They want to create this massive schism in consciousness, because once they can get enough people on edge like that, then the world turns into chaos, and from the chaos emerges the order that they've always wanted. And that order will be global martial law. And that's where we're heading if the people of this planet don't wake up and do something about it. And you can do something about it, folks, by simply standing up and having a voice. You don't need to get angry. Well, maybe you do need to get angry, but you need to channel that anger into positive action, not into violent action. But you need to stand up and have a voice and call a spade and don't back down. Take the moral high ground in all that you do and do not back down. The more people who stand up and make their voices heard, the better we are at this stage of human history, folks. That is the best thing that anybody can do. And we need more and more people doing it. Because strong, eloquent voices are what wakes up the rest of the world. And we already have the strength of numbers to bring about some real change on this planet. We just need to have a unity of purpose, and we can achieve anything we want. But we don't have that unity of purpose. We have a divided rabble at the moment, and that's something that needs addressing. The problem is when discussing things like unity of purpose, people want someone to present them with an idea, with a scheme, with an alternate model or something. You say unity of purpose and they say, well, what is the purpose? What are we unifying for? And they want to see an alternate community like the Venus Society or the New Earth Nation or something. When really the only unity of purpose they need is freedom. Freedom and respect. Because that's what it's about, folks. That's what it's always been about. Freedom. That's why I do what I do, because I want to see the world free. Because when the world is free, then we live in a state of abundance. That is our natural state. That is a natural state of freedom, is abundance. You know, unity of purpose and the purpose being freedom, if we, as I've so often said, operated in respect in all that we do and operated in integrity in all that we do and take the moral high ground in all that we do, then we don't need any new system to be constructed for us. We don't need someone to construct their version of a control grid and present it to us and say, yes, let's move into this system. All we need to do is change our mindset, change our perspective, and this system itself will have to change around our new state of consciousness. It will be an organic thing. It will simply morph into something decent because we have changed our perspective and we've started to operate according to moral parameters rather than the constructs and the constraints that have been imposed on us by this system. Because the system is fiction. What's real is us. I mean, New Earth Nation, great idea, but why do we need to construct little communities around the place? Why not change this one? Because if you construct a new community somewhere, you're still leaving this one where it is, and this one's destroying the planet. You're just letting it destroy the planet by going off and ignoring it and building something else or somewhere else, when really there's nowhere on this planet that you can escape from this system. You can turn your back on it all you want, and pretty soon you'll look outside from your walls and you'll see that the rest of the world just isn't there anymore. And at that point, there won't be too many places for your alternate community to be either, because you won't have a planet to put it on. That's the thing, folks. If you're going to build an alternate society, do it within this society and use it to create a working model and then push the envelope with this society and push it into their faces and ripple it out to the community at large. But do not isolate yourself from this society, because if you build an isolated community, then you're part of the problem. I mean, you could have your alternate society there. You could have your Venus Project or whatever. You could construct your city, your community, whatever, but if this system is still fracking and destroying all the aquifers in your country and polluting all the groundwater and dropping depleted uranium all over the world and spraying chemtrails everywhere, what makes you think you're going to last? What makes you think your society is going to survive? Because the groundwater is going to be polluted, the air is going to be polluted, the oceans are going to be polluted, everything is going to be polluted around you. You can grow your permaculture garden all you want, but if the entire rest of the country is growing GM crops and they're polluting your permaculture garden, then what do you do? You see, you can't ignore this system. You can't ignore the problem that created the reason and the need and the want for you to go and build this alternate society. You can't ignore that. You can't just step away from it and say, okay, well, I'm going to go over here now, because here is still on this planet. There's no exit chute from this planet. There's no exit door. There's no skipping over to another place to go and live. We either fix up what we are doing to this environment and stop allowing ourselves to be constrained by laws which are allowing criminals to destroy our environment. Unless we wake up to ourselves and stand up as custodians of this earth and call a spade and rein these criminal institutions in and stop believing that we have to let our habitat be destroyed because some sociopath wrote rules on pieces of paper, then it doesn't matter what alternate society you build. It won't last. It might be great for a little while, but it won't last, because it can't last unless the people of this planet stand up and do something about the criminals that are destroying it around us. So that's what I mean, folks. I mean, sure, build your alternate society, create a working model, but make sure you stay involved in this society and push the envelope with the community around you, because if you don't, then it means nothing. You can't isolate yourself from this system, folks. You can't just go and say, I'm sovereign, I'm going to live here now. You can all go do what you want, I'm not going to be involved, because you are involved because you live on this earth. And there's really no escaping that fact. I mean, just look at the depleted uranium that's being dropped around the planet through these constant wars in the Middle East. I mean, this is how America gets rid of its nuclear waste, folks. This is how it gets rid of its depleted uranium. It makes it into weapons and goes and drops it on foreign countries. But when you use depleted uranium weaponry, it creates ultrafine particles that get reactivated into the air with every dust storm, most especially because these are all being done in desert regions. Many of these end up quite high in the atmosphere, and you find that depleted uranium is spreading over the entire planet simply because of the incredible amount the United States is using in the many conflicts it likes to involve itself in. I mean, they use tons upon tons and hundreds of tons of this ammunition, folks. Same with all the bombs that Israel drops on Gaza. These are all depleted uranium warheads. And you go and build your alternate community all you want. Go and build your new society all you want. But unless that society is going to do something about these criminals dropping depleted uranium all over the world, what point is there going to be in you building this society? Unless this society takes some sort of action to stop the manufacture and production of GM food, and to stop the spraying of chemicals in our sky, and to stop the fracking that's destroying our water table, and to stop the criminals that are running this planet into the ground, then what is the point of any alternate society? I mean, it's good to speak out about all of this stuff, folks, but we've got to take action to stop it. It's no good just speaking out about it. It has to be stopped. And you're not going to stop it by building an alternate society that ignores it. All you're doing is creating an isolated little bubble for yourself to go and live in while the world gets destroyed around you. You cannot disconnect yourself from what is happening on this planet. To do so is utterly irresponsible. You have to turn and face these problems and heal them and not allow yourself to be constrained by rules that have been put in place by the criminals who are creating the problems. That's the problem that we're having as a society. That's the problem we're having as a species, as a race, trying to figure out how to deal with this issue. We keep believing that we are restrained by the rules that the criminals who created the problems wrote. So why don't we just address the problem at its source, which is the politicians themselves? I mean, sure, there might be a higher source. You can look at the banking cartels that control these governments, but what we see on the surface is politicians, and it is in dealing with these people that we can take action. Why can't we ever realize that these people are actually public employees? The only relationship we even have with government is a trust agreement. All of these guys are in breach of trust. They're all in abuse of office, Exhibit A, the earth, and we need to stand up and do something to protect our environment regardless of what these scumbags tell us we can and can't do. I mean, all these politicians need to show cause why they should be allowed to get away with writing legislation which allows corporations to pollute the planet. They should have to show cause why they are allowed to make everybody in our societies live in a state of hardship. They should have to show cause why they are allowed to cover the world with depleted uranium, even though everybody knows it's toxic, it's pollutive, it's destructive, it's a weapon of mass destruction that goes on killing for generations to come, quite literally for billions of years into the future. Why can't Barack Obama show cause why we should allow him to bomb the world with depleted uranium simply because they say, oh, well, it's an armor-piercing weapon, and it's just that bullshit. We don't give a damn what it is. You're a criminal because you're polluting the earth with depleted uranium. You need to go to jail. And any politician that supports you needs to go to jail. Any politician that supports any of these wars needs to go to jail. And all the soldiers out there who are fighting these wars need to put down their weapons and go home. And all of you mothers out there Call your sons back home. Call your husbands back home. You women out there on the planet, call your men back home and tell them to grow up and start behaving themselves. You know, we can sit here all we want and we can argue the finer points of this and the finer points of that. We can argue and debate the religion of Palestine and Israel and who owns this and who owns what. Why don't we all just grow up and stop killing each other and grow a pair and start acting responsibly? Why don't we stop living our lives according to somebody else's idea? Why don't we just do that, folks? That would be a good thing, I think. That would be great for human consciousness. And the thing is, folks, unless we do, the world's going to be destroyed. The whole situation on this planet is getting untenable, and it's not going to get better until we choose to call a spade and be brutally honest. Stop being politically correct. Stop believing you're constrained by someone else's ideas, and say what you mean and mean what you say. Yeah, so I get mad, folks. I get as mad as anybody, as you can see. I certainly get mad with what's going on in the Middle East. I'm pretty mad with this new law Israel's just brought in. If you notice the new law they've brought in, this is how you manufacture terrorists on demand, folks. They've passed a new law where it's actually illegal to wave a Palestinian flag under Israel's new anti-terrorism laws. Well, actually, I'm not sure if it's been passed yet, but I know that it's on the table, and the fact that it's on the table is disturbing enough. I mean, what sort of a sociopath would write a law like that? And again, folks, it's another form of ethnic cleansing to kill the culture of the Palestinian people. Because this is a law which will effectively outlaw displaying your native culture. If you're a Palestinian. No prejudice or apartheid there, folks. And they're saying that anybody who waves a Palestinian flag will be deported to the Gaza Strip. And yet they're saying that Gaza Strip is not an open-air prison, and yet they're going to take you out of West Bank if you try to complain at them bulldozing your house and putting in an illegal settlement, and you acknowledge that your country exists and even wave a flag, they're going to deport you to Gaza Strip, the world's largest open-air prison, the modern-day equivalent of the Warsaw Ghetto. And folks, it's interesting, you know, I have debates with people, and the most common debate these morons throw at me is that, oh look, these people in Gaza Strip, they voted for Hamas, and so they deserve what they get. That's the line, folks. They say the people in Gaza voted for a terrorist group, and that's what they get. Well, let's look at the reality of that statement. There are 1.8 million people in Gaza Strip. Over 900,000 of them are children. And the adult population is kind of even. There's about 350,000 men and about 350,000 women. But out of that population, the women don't vote. Only the men vote. So that's 350,000 people who are able to vote. Hamas won by a majority of that 350,000 people. So that would be probably around 200,000 people. So that's who actually voted for Hamas. But the other 1.6 million people who are suffering collective punishment at the hands of the rogue state of Israel did not vote for Hamas. And so the moronic, misguided, disinformed statement that these people deserve what they get because they voted for Hamas is exactly what I said it is, a misguided, deranged statement made by someone who is obviously a moron. And as I said, folks, yes, you can see that I get mad too. And I've gotten mad because of the situation that's going on in Gaza. I mean, these people are just being brutalized to a degree that is unimaginable to anybody. They're being cut off by Egypt, this moron dictator, this traitor to his people, General Sisi, who is the self-styled president of Egypt, is simply an Israeli puppet. He's killed thousands of his own people since seizing power. We don't hear the West complaining about that. And yet they go in and bomb Syria and everywhere else they can if it suits the purposes of the Greater Israel Project. And so it's gotten me quite mad seeing the situation in Gaza and seeing the way it's being pushed. I mean, Israel's just being absolutely brutal as a response, of course, to certain countries recognizing the Palestinian state. Israel is now doing everything it can to make sure there is no Palestinian state and even making it illegal to display a Palestinian flag. It's amazing, folks. The crimes of Israel truly know no bounds, and therefore the crimes of the politicians who support Israel also know no bounds. And I truly believe the blatant and obvious war crimes of Israel do provide the entire Western world with an opportunity to deal with the criminals that we have in our governments that are allowing the world to degenerate into the cesspool and police state that we are seeing being constructed around us today. And the only solution to this situation, folks, lies in the hearts of the people themselves. And it's just up to them whether they choose to stand up and be counted. But they need to, because humanity needs you to, the earth needs you to, your children need you to, the future needs you to. You know, the future is what we make it, folks, and everything that we have here in the present is also what we made it. I mean, every problem that we're facing on the earth today is simply a product of human imagination. We created this situation. Everything that we have built, everything we have created, has ultimately been a product of human imagination. We imagine this stuff, and then we do it. And all we have to do is imagine the type of future that we want, and then do it. But first we have to imagine what it would be like to be free. And hopefully if people do that and begin to imagine what it would be like to be completely free, they'll remember that they actually can be free if they choose to be free. There's really nothing restraining us from imagining a far better world and simply creating it. The only thing that prevents us is the artificial constraints that have been placed around us, and our belief of what we can and can't do, our belief of what is and is not possible, which is usually based on someone else's idea, someone else's concept of what reality is and how reality works. But I believe that if people can step back a little bit and just view things realistically, well, they'll see that there's a better way, there's a higher harmonic to everything we've been trying. And that the power to change this world really does lie within the hearts of the people themselves. All they have to do is choose to apply themselves. But I think we're at break time, folks, so I have to leave it there for now. It's a pleasure to have your company with me on the air today, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks very much for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so as you can see, I do get mad. I get quite mad at the global situation. Especially because I believe we could heal it so easily. I really do. I mean, so many people write to me and they say, Max, what's the solution? And the solution really is for people to rediscover themselves. I say this all the time and people look at me and go, well, that's a little bit esoteric. But really it's not. I mean, if you think about what I've said on my radio shows about how the world would change if we suddenly respected each other, I mean, it's true. If you've got a friendship out there, if you've got a group of friends, close friends, and you all respect each other, you all kind of operate in this unity where you're not ripping each other off, you're not profiting from each other, you're doing things for each other because you care about each other, you enjoy helping each other. I mean, there's many people that have friendships like this. Why can't we have a friendship like that across the planet? You know, if we were all operating like that, with that type of a mindset, and we were doing it as a society, then the society and the political system and the control system, the education system, the entire system would not have a choice but to follow our new mindset. That's the way we can change things. You know, building alternate societies could work as long as you have these working models that you are applying to the larger society as well. You know, you've got to be taking steps within your alternate community to deal with the problems that created the need for you to build this alternate community. That's an important thing. This is what I find with a lot of people that get involved in these alternate societies. They say, well, that old society that I was involved in, that's not part of my reality anymore. But it is, because you live on this earth, and it's part of the reality of this earth, and it is that reality that created the need for you to go and create your new reality. So really, it's the core reason for the existence of your alternate society. So if you deny its reality, you're basically denying your own, because one simply could not exist without the other. If you can understand that logic, I hope it made sense. I mean, if you want to start a global movement, folks, why don't you start a global movement whereby you say, well, we're only going to vote for politicians who agree to ban fracking and ban the use of depleted uranium weaponry. And then once we've got their attention, next time we can say, okay, look, we're only going to vote for politicians who agree to make war illegal during their term of office. And if the politicians aren't going to agree to do this, then we're not going to vote. We're not prepared to vote for anybody who is not going to carry out the will of the people. That'd be a nice movement to start, if you want to start some sort of a movement at all. Start a politically responsible movement. Some sort of a movement based in ethics and world peace, via withholding votes from any politicians who are not prepared to sign agreements to keep their election promises and sign agreements to agree to take steps to ban depleted uranium weaponry and ban fracking, and get these politicians to actually put it in writing and put their name to it and sign agreements that they will uphold their election promises. If they're not prepared to do so, then we know they're a criminal and we won't vote for them. And if nobody's prepared to do it, then we won't vote at all, simply because there are no suitable candidates. That'd be a good movement to start. You could call it the integrity movement, or the political honesty movement, or simply the let's call a spade movement. I don't know. Anything would work. You could probably just call it the I'm sick of this shit, let's fix it movement. That would probably work too. The point is, folks, we're in a serious predicament on this planet and we need to pay attention. And we seem to be in fear of our politicians, when really what we should be in fear of, if we're going to be in fear of anything at all, is the future we are allowing to be created via our inaction. That's really the problem that we face. I believe the biggest problem we face as a species is our own apathy. But again, this is programmed apathy. We're trained to be this way, and we're also kept docile through chemical and electromagnetic mediums. But I think even with that, most of the problem is being aware that this is occurring, being aware that there are steps being taken to keep you in a state of inaction, and it kind of motivates you into saying, well, screw that. Nobody can make me do what I don't want to do, and if I want to be active, I will be, and actually getting motivated to do it. You know, but the only thing you really need to get motivated to do it, folks, is to go out and look around. Just go and look at the state of the planet. Go and visit some foreign countries and see what's going on over there, and just go out and look at the country. Have a look at the amount of trees that are dying. Have a look at the lack of wildlife we're seeing on this planet. Have a look at the state of the world, folks. And realize that all of this is happening due to the inaction of the people, because the people believe they are constrained by another group of people who are essentially public servants, and they're just a handful of people. They really are. You know, the problem really isn't the politicians, though, of course, is it? The problem is the police. That's really the problem we face as societies. I believe that's the biggest problem we face, actually, in Western societies, is the police and their blind obedience to an obviously corrupt, immoral, and inhuman legal system, which is designed to service the needs of the system and not service the needs of the people. The police have forgotten that the system was actually created to serve the people, and it's been turned around so that the role of police officers in our modern society is not to serve the people, it's simply to enforce legislation regardless of how corrupt that legislation may be. And that is the problem. The problem is that these people simply don't think clearly enough to know that they're doing the wrong thing. Very often, I don't think they do. I mean, of course, they're subject to peer group pressure and all of the electromagnetically pollutive devices that they're wearing all over them, but a lot of them just don't seem to be able to think clearly, and that's a real problem that we face, because many of these people are very, very brutal individuals, and they're not behaving in a manner that could in any way be construed as responsible or even legal, and yet their actions are being condoned by the legal system. And again, folks, we're not going to get the politicians to deal with this and to fix this, because they're the ones who put it in place, and they put that system in place to protect themselves and the cartels that they work for. So the solution, again, lies in the hands of the people. But we need a strong response to it, which means we need to have a united and respectful community. And that's why I beat that drum so much in the last 7 years, because it all comes down to that. That's the only thing that's going to heal the world, is strong, empowered people that are prepared to stand up and be counted and make their voice heard. Of course, it is getting difficult for one to make their voice heard these days, especially in England with the new counter-terrorism bill that is being brought in. The counterterrorism bill will give the British authorities some of the toughest powers in the world against terrorism, in inverted commas. The measures that they are introducing involve passport seizures at the airport. Previously, you have not been able to simply seize passports. You would need the Home Secretary to personally authorise a passport seizure, but now they're giving the everyday thugs at the airport the ability to seize passports, which is not a good thing because these people are extremely lacking in intelligence and extremely lacking in compassion. The new counterterrorism bill for the UK also includes a clause designed to ban extremist speakers from universities. Now, think about that, folks. Extremist speakers, okay? The bill will put statutory duty on schools, college, prisons, and local councils to help prevent people from being drawn into terrorism, in inverted commas. But the question is, what will they be classing as an extremist speaker? I would suggest that it will be anybody who suggests that the government is actually a criminal cabal, anybody who suggests 7/7 was staged when it actually was, anybody who questions 9/11, anybody who questions the illegal wars our governments were involved in, and in fact, anybody who questions the government line at all will be classed as an extremist. This is, of course, an extremely extremist policy from the British government. The British government is, via its counter-terrorism bill, revealing itself as an extremist government full of extremist politicians who have extremist views on free speech and who are extremely worried that they are going to be caught out for the crimes they are committing. That, of course, is the only reason for this bill. And, of course, it is being introduced on the back of the very convenient ISIS, who are rampaging across the Middle East, providing the West with every excuse they need to commence the bombing campaigns they've wanted to commence for so many years. And I guess that by saying all of that, I've probably just been classed as an extremist by the extremist UK government. And seriously, folks, I mean, you know how far we've gone off the rails and how messed up the world is when we have these warmongering cretins like David Cameron suggesting that anybody who criticizes his war, his genocide, his brutal use of depleted uranium and the bombing raids he promotes against innocent people is an extremist. Yes, folks, thinking that the world should be peaceful and we should not be bombing brown people is an extremist view, according to morons and warmongers such as David Cameron and his ilk, which indicates that the world is seriously messed up and we seriously do need to pay attention. All these world leaders who want their wars, folks, I think we should get them all. I've said it many times before. We get all the world leaders, all of these people, get David Cameron, Barack Obama, Stephen Harper, Tony Abbott, we can get the head of ISIS, we can get all these people, we'll put them all on Christmas Island and we'll give them all a hammer and they can have their war. And that will be the end of that gene pool and maybe we can have a happy world. I don't know, folks, I often wonder what it will take just to get people to put all their stuff down, put their tools down, stop work, just take a day off, everybody just stop, look around, pay attention, and let's change this situation. You know, I really believe that if everybody just stopped and paid attention, we could quite literally heal the world in a day. I mean, if everybody came online, we could heal it in 3 seconds. If everyone suddenly changed their attitude, we could heal it very, very quickly. But even if people just stopped and looked and acted responsibly, did the right thing, acted from a moral perspective, and called a spade, we could change things. You know, politicians are stark raving mad, folks. I mean, look at the world. They're stark raving mad. David Cameron, you are stark raving mad. You're a lunatic. You're a psychopath. You're a scumbag. Same as Barack Obama. Same as Stephen Harper. Same as Tony Abbott. Same as all of these cretins. They are stark raving mad. They are psychopathic lunatics who are murdering massive amounts of people and brutalizing their own country, not just through corrupt police and domestic brutality, but also through a criminal banking system, through debt slavery, through forced scarcity. It's emotional, psychological, and social violence that is being perpetrated against us by these criminal cretins who are populating our political parties. And that's all they are, folks. Warmongering, sociopathic, psychopathic, thieving, criminal dipshits. That's what they are, folks. They are nothing more. They know no respect for anybody. They have no compassion for anybody. Even the disgraceful attitude and the disgraceful lie of getting a politician to come to the table and referring to this man as the honourable whoever, because the last thing these people know is honour. They have none. They have no honour. They have no conscience. They have no soul. They have no compassion. They have no humanity. And people like David Cameron, Tony Abbott, Barack Obama, and Stephen Harper have all the honour of a rodent. You know, for all their talk of peace and bringing peace to the world, every single problem that we have in the Middle East, every single terrorism problem, everything that we've seen manifest in the last 30 or 40 years on this planet to do with government instability or terrorism is a direct result of Western intervention in the Middle East and is a direct result of the United States and Western society in general attempting to reshape the world in its corrupt image. Every single piece of instability and war we have fought on this planet since World War II has been contrived by bankers, and even World War II was contrived. The whole thing has been contrived, folks, by these criminal, scumbag, sociopathic, moron, terrorist liars that we have as politicians in our countries. And all we need is a strong society to stand up and say, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to fight your wars anymore. We're not going to bomb people anymore. We're going to have peaceful lives and live in abundance. And if you leaders want your war, then we'll go put you on Christmas Island and you can have it. Because we don't want war. No people want war. I've never met anybody who wants war. The only people who ever want war are bankers and politicians. So if they want to have a war, we'll send these people to have their war on their own. Don't fight for them, folks. Don't do what they say. If you're in the military, quit. And don't ever let anybody you know enter the military. If you're in the military now, put your gun down and go home. The military is a moronic job run by moronic people for moronic pastimes, and only stupid people join the military if they have any other choice at all. Of course, the main reason people join the military now is because it's the only job that they could get. But don't do it, because joining the military is like self-imposed stupidity. Don't do it. I mean, just grow up, folks. Stop killing people you don't know because some moron sociopath told you to. That's all it is. Soldiers being trained to go and kill people they've never met. I mean, think about it, folks. If you're going to join the military, remind yourself of a quote once made by Henry Kissinger in which he said, "Military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy." That is what politicians think of soldiers. So bear that in mind when you go to join the military. And really, folks, all you have to do is look at the lives of veterans. Look at what happens to returned soldiers when they come back to America. They are discarded. They are treated disgracefully. They are treated like fourth-class citizens. That's what your corrupt politicians think of the military. The wars are theirs, folks. They're not yours. Don't fight them. Go home. And if you're in the military now, quit. That's what needs to happen, folks. People just need to quit. Put down your guns and go home, because all you are doing is killing people you've never met because someone else wrote rules on a piece of paper. You're killing other people's children because a sociopath is telling you to. And you're doing so under the ridiculous delusion that you're defending your country, when nothing could be further from the truth. It's absolutely ridiculous, folks, and we justify this because we think we're protecting our country. We're not protecting our country at all. All we're doing is murdering people at the whim of banksters. That's all these wars are, folks. All wars are bankers' wars. All are fought under false pretenses, and everything that's happening in the Middle East right now is built on a lie and is a direct result of Western intervention in the area. You know, the sheer amount of terrorism and brutality and war that we have brought to that region has been like no other period in history. And the most ridiculous part about it is that these scumbags like David Cameron refer to anybody who fights back against Western terrorism as terrorists. When, of course, David Cameron, Barack Obama, and Benjamin Netanyahu are the worst terrorists on the planet today. Of course, you could probably throw Tony Blair and Henry Kissinger and a few others on that list as well, but it just seems ludicrous that these terrorist scumbags are referring to anybody who questions their rubbish as terrorists. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to take before the human race wakes up to themselves and stand up and says, we've had enough of this crap. But for me, it just boggles the mind. I can't even bear to watch the news anymore because I cannot listen to the lies and crap that dribbles out of their mouths anymore. I mean, people like David Cameron, you've got to feel sorry for him to a certain degree. I mean, you've got to wonder what happened to him. I mean, was he a bottle-fed baby or something? Did he not bond with his parents? I mean, what happened in his life? Was he bullied at school? What happened to turn him into such a sociopathic, psychopathic, habitual lying moron? What happened to make him want to go out and murder the millions of people that he's helping murder? Same with Barack Obama. What happened to these people? Henry Kissinger, what happened? Zbigniew Brzezinski, what happened to these people to turn them into such psychotic morons? What happened to close their mind off to consciousness? What happened to close their mind off to reality and to cause them to view the world from the warped view that they have? What caused them to want to go and bomb millions of people and turn the world into their own image? What happened to these people, folks? Sometimes you have to wonder whether we have two separate species on this planet, two separate species of humanity, one who is actually human and one who is simply psychopathic. I suppose then you start getting into the questions of where does evil actually come from and what purpose does it serve? I mean, personally, I think evil does serve a purpose. I think evil is necessary in order for us to choose not to be evil. I think we have to have the choice to go wrong there in order for us to choose to go right. But the way people like David Cameron and Barack Obama, Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the way these people seem to lack all empathy, the way these people are willing to murder millions and millions of people. Madeleine Albright, remember Madeleine Albright when she was questioned on the news about the 500,000 children who had died due to US sanctions on Iraq, and she was asked whether she thought it was worth it, and Madeleine Albright answered very, very quickly, oh yes, we think it's worth it. 500,000 children died in order for them to push a political agenda which never succeeded and only eventually turned Iraq into a failed state anyway. And she believes it was worth it to kill 500,000 children to bring about the result that we see in Iraq today. How can you even analyze a woman, the mind of a woman, who thinks that way about children? What happened to these people, folks? Now, stepping back and really looking at things realistically, folks, what we've seen in the last few decades is a global takeover by banking oligarchy. That's what's happening in the world today. All of the instability that's happened in the Middle East is a result of Western intervention. We've gone out there and we've destabilized all of these countries. And anybody who fights back against the destabilization process and against the terrorism that we have meted out against these people is classed as a terrorist. And now that the people of our society are waking up to the fact that the real terrorists on this planet are our own governments, because these are the ones who've been creating all of the instability around the world. Now that the populations are waking up to that, they're bringing in anti-terror laws in our own country in order to mop up any protesters to their global takeover. That's what's happening, folks. It's been a plan that's been long in the making, but that's exactly what's happening. Anybody who's speaking out against government terrorism is now being called a terrorist. Anybody who wishes to stop the wars is now being called an extremist. And anybody who stands up and stands in integrity or has strong moral fiber is being called an extremist activist, or being accused of recruiting for ISIS or whatever other rubbish these criminals can think up. And of course, all of this is being promoted to the general public at large by our war criminal mainstream media. Because our mainstream media are as guilty, if not more guilty, of crimes than our puppet politicians. And that's the point, folks. All of our politicians are puppets. But even though they are puppets, they still afford us a doorway by which to confront this system. Because we can confront our politicians by using their own legislation against them. It is a double-edged sword, folks. All we have to do is gain the courage to do it. And that courage will come when we have a strong communal response, which can only come when we have a respectful community. This is why my focus has been on this for so many years, folks. I really believe that if this community stands up as a whole and simply calls a spade, the politicians will have nowhere to go. Even the police will have to do the right thing in that sort of a situation. And when I said before that the biggest problem we face in Western societies is our police, it's because when we go to approach politicians or we accuse these politicians of the crimes that they are committing, our police are who step in and repress us. Because these people are not there to do the right thing. They're simply there to enforce the legislation the politicians give them. And that is a huge problem. Because when we rise as a society and want peaceful change, the police always turn it into violent confrontation. If you look at any of the protests in the past, folks, it's the police who start the violence 100% of the time. And if it isn't the police doing it openly in uniform, then it's agents provocateurs that they have sent into the general public who start the riots from the other side of the fence. But it's always done by the establishment, because that is how you break up a peaceful protest. You turn it into violence and you bring in the thugs to beat everybody up in the name of self-defense. And that's the way they always do it. But public awareness of these realities is now growing, and this is giving us an opportunity to do something about it. And time is of the essence, folks. We really need people to start speaking out about these situations as loudly as they can, because the world is getting worse by the day, and we have to raise the frequency, folks. Get out of the fear. I mean, I can talk about these people and all the things they do, and I can call them scumbags and cretins, because they are. But at the same token, I don't hate them. I'm disgusted by their actions, but I don't hate them. I feel sorry for them, because they are so misguided and so deranged and so disconnected, and their view of reality is so warped and unrealistic that I can't help but feel sorry for them. The only problem is that they've maneuvered themselves into positions of power, and through their own sociopathic and psychopathic actions, they are carrying out mass murder and they are destroying the earth. And that's why I speak out about it, because I have to. I'm part of mankind, I'm part of this earth, and I can't allow criminals to destroy things around me simply because I'm too afraid to speak. And so I'm not afraid to speak, folks, but I do what I do because I love life, I love humanity, I love this planet, I love the people on it, and I want a better future. I don't do it out of hate for these scumbags, I do it out of love for my brothers and sisters. And I think that makes a big difference. But I think we've just about reached the end of this show here, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. It's been a pleasure coming and talking to you again today. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. I really do need some, folks. If you can, it would be great. There was so much more I wanted to share with you today, but I seem to have gone off topic a lot of times. It's been a quite emotional show, and so I'll have to save my other ranting for next week. As I've mentioned a few times lately, I will be launching Full Circle Project in earnest next year. I'm in the process of organising speakers at the moment, and I've got a lot of stuff to organise for that. But there's a lot of good things in the wind, which I will inform you about next week. And really, a lot of things. There's really been some amazing synchronicities happening in my life recently. So if I remember, I will go into a little bit of that as well. But for now, I am completely out of time. It's been a pleasure coming and talking to you again today. I'll look forward to speaking to you again in another 7 days. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.